Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa mawlana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس وارض بما قسم الله تكن أغنى الناس إلى آخر الحديث. Let us recite درود شريف عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. My most honored and respected ulama kiram, my elders and brothers, we are going through the days that are very Mubarak days. After the month of Ramadan, there is a very special ibadat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designated, and which is a ibadat in the sight of Allah which formulates one of the fundamental principles and one of the fundamental pillars of the deen of Islam, and that is the Hajj or the pilgrimage to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has kept the month of Zilhijjah after the month of Ramadan, and not immediately after the month of Ramadan, but approximately 2 months after the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us, for this is an ibadat and an act of worship that will call people from every nook and corner of the world towards the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is one of the reasons why the time that has been allocated after the Mubarak month of Ramadan is sufficient for a person to be able to travel from any part of the world, and he will be able to reach the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in time to fulfill this fundamental pillar and principle of the deen of Islam, and that is the Hajj or the pilgrimage to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, my dear brothers, after the Mubarak month of Ramadan, or during the Mubarak month of Ramadan, we have reached a spiritual upliftment and a spiritual level as far as our ta'alluq and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. And it is very important for us that we try our level best to maintain that very level that was prevalent during the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Although it will not be possible, we know that the level of Iman, or that battery that we have within us, that battery of Iman, which actually generates or it pushes a person forward to be able to fulfill the orders and commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a nur and a light in a person which we term and call Iman. And that Iman, it does not stay at a one particular level at all the time. It variates, it goes up and down, it differs, depending on the environment of a person, depending on his associates, his friends, the environment he keeps, the type of work he does, and the manner in which he conducts himself, etc. It varies. We will find that after we sit in a gathering of a pious person, or we listen to the Mubarak words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we attend a zikr majlis, or whatever it might be, or after we have indulged in some act of ibadat and worship, then that level of Iman has generated to a specific level. It is on a high level. But that level decreases once a person goes away and he indulges in his various activities. And this is normal. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had this fear and concern, and the Sahabi is not attending the majlis and the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then sends Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and says, go and see what is happening, why is it that Hanzala is not coming? And when Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu visits Hazrat Hanzala, Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Nafaqa Hanzala, Hanzala has become a munafiq. And this is the status of Sahaba, that with regards to themselves, they had badgumani. They used to fear for themselves. They used to fear with regard to their level of iman, unlike us, my dear brothers. We are contented that we are, alhamdulillah, we are Muslims. And alhamdulillah, we have iman, etc., etc. We are contented with that. But look at the lives of Sahaba, it was completely opposite to us. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, such a high level Sahabi, he's saying that I have this fear that I have become a munafiq. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asks him, what is the purpose? Why do you feel like this? And he explains and he says that when I am in the company, in the Mubarak company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I feel a difference in my iman. It is as if I can feel, I can in reality see like paradise in front of me. I can, you know, my level of iman is to another level. But the moment I come back home and I indulge in my various chores of the home and I get involved with the wife and the children or whatever it might be, then I notice there is a difference in me and I fear that this might be nifaq. I fear that this is nifaq. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu tells him that, oh Hanzala, this is my condition as well. I also feel like this, that when I am in the Mubarak company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I feel different. And then when I go back home and involve in my day-to-day activity, I feel differently. So let us go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and explain our circumstances and explain our condition. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to cut that long story short, he told them that this is in reality what is iman. If you could have maintained that level of iman, then the angels and malaika will come and make musafa with you. So this is normal. We will change, our level of iman will decrease and increase depending on our environment, depending on our activities, etc. But my dear listeners, my honorable friends, we have to strive to maintain a certain level of iman within ourselves, that at least minimum we protect ourselves from those aspects of our deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has classified as the maharim, or those aspects of our deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us from. That is the greatest thing that a person has to achieve. How many times have we not heard again and again Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel sahab in this masjid, Namat Barakatuhum, repeatedly telling us that it is very easy for us to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For any person, no matter how much he might have indulge in guna and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but for him to become a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get acceptance in the court of Allah, it is very easy. And it is only one thing that he has to do, and that is to seek sincere tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Allah tells us in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who make tawbah, who seek repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever guna and sins that they may have committed. So I was telling you, my dear brothers, that that level of iman should be generated and should be maintained at least to that level where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith he explains and he says to Hazrat Abu Huraira, or he places and he says that, who from amongst you are there that will learn from me these certain kalimat and make amal on it, or teach it to somebody who will make amal on it? And from this hadith, ulama explained to us that how important it is that we rectify our intention, that what is the purpose for us to seek knowledge, or what is the purpose for us to learn something. The purpose and the object for us to learn something, my dear brothers, is that we must first make this intention that we are going to make amal on what we are going to learn. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the greatest teacher, the best teacher. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a teacher to mankind. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at his usloob and his tariqah, his methodology in teaching. He asked first that who from amongst you will learn something from me and make amal on it, or teach it to someone who will make amal on what I am going to teach him. And Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was that sahabi who entered into Islam very late. But the most amount of ahadith that are narrated in the books of hadith are from this particular sahabi, Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Person has to wonder, and he himself, he explains that many of the companions, they wonder, I entered into Islam very late, but I narrate so many ahadith, how is it that Abu Hurairah does this? And then he explains and he says that I, whilst my Ansari friends and the Muhajireen etc., they were involved in business, I was in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for him to able to gain and obtain that particular knowledge and withhold it within himself. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then held his hand. He held the hand of Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he counted five things to him. And the first thing that Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, when he repeats the hadith, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught me and said to me that ittaqil maharima takun a'bad an-nas. That, O Abu Hurairah, have or develop within yourself that taqwa and that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent that you are able to protect yourself from those aspects of the deen and those aspects that are, you are able to prohibit yourself and safeguard yourself from those aspects that are maharim and those the aspects that are not permissible in Islam. And if you will do that, O Abu Hurairah, you will become a'bad an-nas, you will become the most pious worshipper. Very easy to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and very easy to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be regarded as to, in the court of Allah, to be the most pious person. The Nabi of Allah did not say, spend a lot of time in zikr, or spend a lot of time in salat, or spend a lot of time in making saum and fasting, or do a lot of hajj, or do a lot of umrah, no. Or recite a lot of Quran, etc. No, he did not tell him that. He explained to him and he told him that do one thing, you will become a most pious worshipper. Ittaqil maharim. Safeguard and protect yourself from those aspects of life that are prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you will become a'bad an-nas, the most pious worshipper. You will become close to Allah, accepted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now look around us, my dear brothers. So many aspects related to our life, wherein we know that it is in a disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to generate that level of iman within ourselves, that minimum we are able to protect ourselves from those aspects. Now in this day and age, when science and technology is progressing to such a level, sometimes we are left struck, wondered whether such a thing is permissible or it's not permissible in our deen. And for that too, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam offered us guidance and advice that within ourselves, Allah has kept like a mufti within ourselves. Every single person, he himself is like a mufti. And what you mean by that, you might be in a circumstance where you're not sure whether certain thing is permissible or is not permissible. You don't have any access to ask anyone. And many a times we are in our day-to-day life, we are faced with that particular circumstances where we are not sure whether we must do a certain thing or we must not do a certain thing. We got no means of whereby we can make mashura with someone. You have to make a decision on the spot, on that particular time. Sometimes a man is facing that circumstances. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us and said, "Istafti qalbak," that ask your heart, ask yourself that what do you feel within yourself that this act that I'm going to make amal on or practice upon, whether it be a business deal or whether it be any other act related to any action of ours, whether this act will be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or it will be displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you feel within yourself and you do not have anybody to make mashura and ask and consult with, then ask yourself. And if that answer within yourself is telling you that no, your Rabb will be happy with you if you do this, then know that it is permissible. And if you within yourself feel that reluctance, and if you feel that negativeness within yourself, then know that there is some rukawat, there is some aspect related to this action and deed of mine that will be displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then abstain from that. So no person will be able to say that I had been faced in a circumstance and I was not able to decide whether it was permissible for me or not permissible for me, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept and generated within ourselves such feelings, like how you say you have a sixth sense, where you have a feeling whether such a thing is permissible or not. Then my dear brothers, if you ask yourself and you get that answer that no, this is, seems to be permissible, and you do not have that means whereby you can ask, then make amal on that. But as far as possible to generate within ourselves that level of iman, that we are able to refrain from those aspects that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person will become a pious worshipper to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My time is nearly up, my dear brothers, and I got so many other points related to this particular hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then further he explains to Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he explains to him and says, وَرْضَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهِ, be pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made taqseem for you, has given to you as your sustenance and your risk. Then what will happen? تَكُنْ أَغْنَى النَّاسِ, you will become the most richest of people. The most richest of people. If you want to develop within yourself contentment, and if you can develop contentment within yourself, that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for me, that will definitely reach me. Of course, I have to make that effort and sacrifice. But not that I shun everything, I break my relationships with people, I conduct my business in a manner that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I do not consider what is halal, what is haram, etc. My maqsad and my object is only to get rizq, to get sustenance, to get sustenance, to get sustenance. My day and night have become one, only in striving to achieve the pleasures of this dunya. Then my dear brothers, that race will never end. It will never end. And comes in a hadith also that this person will continue in that particular life. He will continue in that circle of chasing until he goes into the grave. The only time he will stop is when he will go into the grave. So we have to strive to develop within ourselves this quality of contentment, my dear brothers, that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for me, most definitely it will reach me. I will have to make the effort for it, but that effort is limited to whatever I can do. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined for me to get a certain amount of risk and sustenance, I will be pleased with that. My dear brothers, if a person does that, then he will become the richest of person. Because richness is not in wealth. Richness is not in wealth and in the accumulation of wealth. But richness is something that a person experiences in this heart of his. This contentment that he will experience in his heart after having received whatever he has received. He will experience such joy in that little that he has, that a richest person will never be able to experience that joy that this man who is of a simple person, he is experiencing in that contentment, in practicing and exercising that contentment with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to him in this day and age. My dear brothers, this is our life. Let us stop for a little while. Take stock of ourselves. That how am I leading my life? Am I leading my life that I'm basically day in and day out, day in and day out, it is only one figure of mine that how I can make my life comfortable, how I can make the life of my family comfortable. And then he forgets his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nay, my dear brothers. Nay, this is not life. Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi rahmatullah alayhi, a very great buzrug and a close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, I found pleasure in four things. In four things I practiced upon, I found pleasure in that. I experienced such joy that I never experienced it in anything else. And the first thing he mentions in amongst those four things was that I find contentment with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for me. I feel contented on that. I have experienced such joy and pleasure in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I don't experience it in anything else. And then secondly, he said, ikhlas. That whatever amal I do it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. not to show anyone, not to prove anyone any point that I can do this or that, but solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then thirdly, he said, I have no enemies. My enemy is my nafs and shaitan. I have no enemies. I have a good record, or I have a good dealing, or I have a good association with every single person, no matter whoever he may be. He may have hurt me or whatever it might be. But the night that I am going to bed, I have made everybody maaf for whatever they may have done to me or said to me. If a person experiences that, he will, my dear brothers, experience such pleasure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he doesn't experience it in anything else. And then fourthly, he mentions and he says that I experience such joy only in trying to strive to please my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever requisites are for the hereafter, in doing those good a'mals. These are the pleasurable things to me, and this is what has gained me the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers, this Mubarak days have started, and very soon we'll be going towards the days of Hajj. Many of our brothers will be going towards for the Hajj also. Our humble request is, my dear brothers, remember us in your du'as. Remember the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your du'as. We are going through very difficult times. And now it is those times of trials and fitna and fasad from all various directions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you a hajj maqbool and mabroor. Read the kitabs and the fazail and the virtues of Medina, of Makkah, and keep the azmat of that particular places that you are going to in your heart. Spend few days, whatever it might be, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses with you with in those mubarak places. And in this day and age, we never know whether we will ever get another chance to be able to go there. So those who are going for the first time, do the best whatever you can do, and spend as much time in the ibadat and in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you are very close to Allah. You are in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are in the mubarak places where the rahmat of Allah descends first. So seek forgiveness from Allah and seek assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember the people in your country, the people in your town, your family, and everybody in the whole ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq.